7 years ago, Logan Ward and his wife moved from New York City to rural Virginia, and the family included Logan, his wife Heather, and their 2-year-old son, I believe, Luther, and they sold their belongings, got rid of all the conveniences that did not exist in 1900. Their goal was to throw themselves into a year of subsistence farming. See you in 100 years. 4 seasons in Forgotten America is the result. The book, it's one of the results of the event and of their experiences. Logan Ward, the author, Jim Packer joining us for a couple of minutes here. Jim, and you've read the book. Isn't that a fascinating book?
This is one of the best books that I've ever read, and it's beautifully written. If you remember the PBS series that involved an English family moving into a house back in 1900, that's sort of the inspiration for this, is that he found out about that and then decided, well, he and his wife and their son could go off and do it themselves. It's just a tremendous adventure, and when you think about it, it starts off with something that's guaranteed to get you on the seat of your chair, and that's talking about snakes. And all of the snakes that are going to be lurking, waiting. And I won't tip you off into any more, but it starts from there, and it just is
a fascinating
book. It's also very uplifting, very rewarding at the end, and it's a book that we'd be happy to send you. You know, with a pledge of $120, we'll send you the member benefit card at 800-383-9772, and if you kick in another $30, we'll send along See You in 100 Years, 4 Seasons in Forgotten America.
Our goal this hour is $7,000, Jim, and I tell you what, we have a challenge grant of $1,500 for the hour, so if we can raise $7,000, or when we raise it, I'm confident we can raise it. When we raise $7,000 by noon today, we will have an additional $1,500 in the form of a challenge grant from some anonymous donors who are really nice people to be doing that. So, tell you what, you can help us raise an extra $1,500. You can support Wisconsin Public Radio. You can get a copy of Logan Ward's book. For $120, you'll get the member benefit card, of course, for a $120 contribution, but also for an extra $30, make it $150, that's $12.50 a month, we'll send you a copy of See You in 100 Years, 4 Seasons in Forgotten America. And we'll be talking with Logan in just a minute or two, and you're going to have a chance to get some of his insights about living 100 years ago, sort of. But it's a wonderful book, and it's a kind of a way of us to say thank you to you for your contributions. We need to make a goal of $7,000 for this particular hour, as I mentioned, because when we do, we will receive another $1,500. The only way we make that is with your support. Whatever amount is comfortable for you, that's great. If you can afford more than $150, that's fine. If you can't afford $150 or don't feel comfortable with that amount, want to contribute less, that is fine too. Whatever the amount, now's the time to call in at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org and make your pledge there.
That member benefit card, it's really more than a premium. It's a benefit of Wisconsin Public Radio membership. You know, we can get a CD or you can get a mug, but that member benefit card provides an experience and a constant reminder of the great value that Wisconsin Public Radio is. It's a year-long reminder of your support for Wisconsin Public Radio, and it's also a year-long reminder of how much your support means to us. So you'll enjoy some two-for-one dining experiences. You'll have some reduced memberships and reduced admissions to get into museums and symphonies and attractions like that. And then there is the bed and breakfast benefit, 2 nights for the price of one. So for $10 a month, we would send you the member benefit card, and if you add another $250 a month, we'll also throw in a copy of Logan Ward's excellent book, See You in 100 Years.
1-800-383-9772, the number to call, 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org. You can make your contribution there, and when you make your contribution there, you can also print off your receipt. And we'll talk with Jim Packard some more as we move along here in the program. But right now I want to bring Logan Ward to the microphones. Logan's with us by phone from his home, I believe. Logan, are you there?
I'm here. How are you, Larry?
Just great. Thanks so much for being with us today. And I guess, I've really enjoyed your book, and I think that probably the best way to start would be to maybe paraphrase Jay Leno a bit here and just ask you, what were you thinking?
Well, that's a question we asked ourselves many times during this project, and I've asked myself that since. I guess we were responding to this overwhelming sense of stress that we felt in New York City. So I'm not sure we were thinking clearly, but I don't have regrets now. We were feeling out of control of our lives, working all the time, traveling too much, you know, eating too many takeout meals. I remember in Brooklyn we were renting bad videos from a place that had bulletproof glass.
Yeah.
And it was an existence that wasn't very meaningful to us. And all of that came into question when we had our son. When he was one and we were sending him off with a nanny, a stranger who we were paying less than our plumber, we started to question how we were living. And that led us to this idea, this way of simplifying and getting back to the land.
And to go back 100 years, that's a long time back. And what maybe you could talk about what you were thinking that you'd have to do without.
Well, yeah, the whole idea of going back 100 years appealed to us. It was sparked by that PBS show, 1900 House.
Ah, and that's why you went back to 1900.
It is. You know, that was the initial thought. Okay, this family in London did it for 3 months in a townhouse. And to me, it seemed sort of a cheap thing. Their food was delivered to them, and they spent their whole time cleaning. And that didn't appeal to us at all. But I started thinking about what was happening in this country in 1900. It was really the dawn of the automobile age, the dawn of the communications revolution. And I thought about my own relatives and my wife's relatives in the rural South, and they were living without any of these things for about the last time in our history. So it appealed to me to go to a time where we weren't pioneers. We weren't having to build our own house and living on the prairie without neighbors. We wanted to find a small community and to basically live without these distractions, these technological distractions, and raise our own food. That's what led us to, you know, it sort of bore out the idea of 1900.
And you did not have prior experience as a farmer, let's say.
Not at all. We had been in New York for 10 years at this time, and even though we came from small towns in the South, Heather and I couldn't remember the last time we had planted a seed. She couldn't remember. Well, she had never baked bread from scratch or baked a pie from scratch. I mean, we were total greenhorns, you might say.
And and you had a lot to learn. How did you research this ahead of time?
Well, once we decided to do it.
And by the way, let me just break in here and ask, how did you talk Heather into this?
Well, there's a story there. You know, this idea came to me at a particularly kind of tough time. I was struggling with where I was going in my career. I'd been a magazine writer for many years, and you know, I was, to be honest, I was looking for a book idea. Well, when I thought of 1900 and going back and becoming subsistence farmers, I thought, well, this will be a way to completely change our lives, but also there's bound to be a book in it. So when I mentioned it to Heather, she immediately said, "I love it. Let's do it."
Yeah, that's amazing.
And I backpedaled for about, you know, I immediately backpedaled. I thought, but we can't do this. This would mean too many changes. And so, you know, we tabled the idea for a couple of months, and then we got back to it, and we started talking about it one evening, and we kind of got excited. This was a chance to do something adventurous while we were still young, and even though we had a one-year-old, it was a chance to do something with him that wouldn't involve a lot of travel, maybe, or overseas expeditions, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So once we decided to do it, it was a matter of hitting the books. We had to learn all this stuff from scratch, the way people learn. You know, we looked at it as our sort of graduate program in dirt farming. We read period diaries and books and magazine articles from the period to let us know how the typical family lived in 1900. And then we read lots of manuals that would tell us how we, pretending to be 1900 dirt farmers, were going to live. You know, how we were going to compost and raise vegetables and can them on a wood stove and raise animals and milk goats and all of that. So it was a lot of late night reading and any chance we got, you know, talking to people and getting sort of first-hand advice.
Well, and then you chose a rural area in Virginia. And why did you choose that area?
Well, we're from the deeper South, Alabama and South Carolina, and we ruled that out pretty quickly. We thought, well, summers in those places are going to be miserable.
Yeah.
We thought, well, the people at the time didn't have air conditioning, but they didn't know any better. And they also took advantage more of the breezes. And I don't know, it just seemed too daunting for us. We came to Virginia for the climate. And also, you know, this was the home of Thomas Jefferson, who wrote a lot about the agrarian ideal and the independence of the small farmer. And that appealed to us. We ended up moving to the Shenandoah Valley, about 50 miles over the mountains from where Jefferson lived, where Monticello is today. And really, once we chose Virginia, we scoured the state looking for those rural areas. We looked at the map and all the big white spaces in between the blue and red highways. We sort of headed in those directions, and we would check in with these small real estate agents who would look at us like wolves. You know, here's a couple from New York City bringing their money. Little did they realize that we were, you know, a freelance writer and my wife who worked in the nonprofit world. But
and you chose and you finally, after a lot of searching, you found a place, and I've forgotten how many acres it was now. You have
40 acres, which
40 acres, yeah.
A nice round number. We didn't have a mule, but we had a draft horse. So it was 40 acres in the Shenandoah Valley in a little community called Swope, right up against the Allegheny Mountains. Those are the western mountains that border the valley. And we had an 1885 brick farmhouse that we converted. We ripped out electrical wiring and ripped out the plumbing and got the barn in order for the animals that we were going to bring in, and did lots of work to make the house a little more comfortable, but certainly not comfortable by 21st century standards.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It was interesting to me that you, as I recall, you almost stopped before you got started. There was some tensions, between you and Heather, and about the time you're just about ready to start, you're almost ready to quit, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, yeah, you know, in New York, we lived this existence where we would sort of head off every morning to our respective jobs and send our son off with a nanny, and we'd come back in the evenings and deal with all the child care and eat a late dinner and basically complain about our day, and we'd do that on a day-in, day-out basis. So our relationship was kind of struggling. So we thought this would be a way to revitalize our marriage. And, that's a pretty naive thought, but this whole thing was naive. I'll admit that. So at the beginning, you know, suddenly we were working side by side, and we were about to wring each other's necks, to be honest. You know, there's so much, we were under such pressure to meet our deadline. We gave ourselves a spring deadline. We had to start this in the spring. And we were doing everything, the book learning, preparing the house, and also getting this garden ready and stocking up on 19th century tools, all the things that we would need. And it was very stressful. And so there was a period there where we thought, why kill ourselves and ruin our marriage over this thing that was supposed to do the opposite?
Yeah. Logan Ward is our guest today. He is author of See You in 100 Years, 4 Seasons in Forgotten America. You may have a comment or a question for him, and if you do, we'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. If you're in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890, or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking today with Logan Ward, author of See You in 100 Years, 4 Seasons in Forgotten America. It's published by Ben Bella Books. Really pleased to have him with us today. Again, if you want to join in with a question, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And Logan, our lines are filling up rapidly here, so let's take some calls. And Therese in Viroqua is online first. Therese, hi. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question was how it was work, or what kind of animals you worked with or raised, and how that was, never worked with them before. And if I heard you mention goats, if you drank the raw milk or not, and how that was.
Sure. Well, yeah, in terms of working animals, I joke that the biggest animal I had ever worked before this was a golden retriever. So we needed animals for food and transportation. We had a dozen laying hens. We had a pair of milk goats, and we milked those twice a day. We got a couple of gallons of milk every day. And then we had this draft horse, and her name was Belle, and she was this giant Percheron. And in the book, I say that the Percheron was descended from the Norman war horses of William the Conqueror. She looked at him. She was so intimidating. And that was one of the biggest challenges for me, learning to deal with this horse. I mean, I think early on, there was a time when I thought, I'm really going to hurt myself. And I almost thought about not getting a draft horse, but that just seemed too cheap. You know, it seemed like a cop-out. So, you know, we bought the horse the very first day. The guy harnessed her up, and the guy that sold her to us, and he left her harnessed. And when he left, I realized I didn't know how to unharness her. So this struggle ensued, and it really terrified me. And from that day forward, I pretty much avoided her for the next month. But, you know, over the weeks, our neighbors came to our rescue. It turns out we had amazing neighbors, very skilled in the country ways. And we had a lot of horse people, and they helped me learn how to harness and drive this horse, and also learn how to gain her respect. And that was a process that took about the whole year. But by the end, I felt like I was on great terms with her.
Mm-hmm.
And real quickly, back to the goats. The goat's milk, yeah, we drank it raw. It was delicious. We cooked with it. We put it in our coffee.
Made cheese, too, didn't you?
Oh, we made terrific cheese. Heather, my wife, ended up making a variety of cheeses, including a chèvre, you know, that she would sprinkle herbs on. It was as good as anything you'd get, you know, at the farmer's market. It was fantastic.
Huh. Therese, thank you. Paul in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Paul.
Hi. I just wanted to ask your guest, what do you think, what did you learn about the impacts on your ecological footprint, like from going back to a more basic like technology, like something that still worked just as good, obviously, otherwise our ancestors wouldn't be here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's something we noticed. You know, things just took a lot longer. I mean, we had technology. We just had 1900 technology. So laundry took all day. Cooking, we burned wood, and I was very familiar with our fuel source. That was important. I mean, I physically would split the wood and burn it. So I knew, I just had this real feeling for what we were using, as opposed to when it comes piped in and you use it and you pay your bill. One interesting thing in terms of our footprint, you know, I've read a lot of Wendell Berry, and he writes a lot about the producing home versus the consuming home. And he says today it's a shame that we're a nation of consuming homes, where we earn money and we buy things, we consume them, and then we have waste, trash. Well, for a year, we were a producing home, and we would produce our own food, we produced our own fertilizer, we composted, and we were in this situation where we weren't producing much garbage, but we were and we were recycling things. And so it felt very good to live light on the land. And I've since plugged our numbers into one of these carbon footprint calculators that you can go to on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And we scored really well. I mean, we were great and very green, except for the firewood that we burned. You know, that puts out a lot of smoke, a lot of carbon, but we weren't producing, we weren't buying a lot of consumer goods, and that helped. So pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Too few people realize the value of labor and putting effort in your own time and energy into something and getting something of value back. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. And that's part of the and we talk about struggles and rewards, and that has to be one of the rewards for you, Logan.
Oh, yes. And, you know, it's interesting. He's right on the money when he talks about the rewards of physical labor. We're a nation of experts, and so many people strive, including myself, to use our brains and to sit in an office and to not exert ourselves physically, but the rewards from that physical work are just tremendous. I mean, I've never felt healthier mentally or physically. It's hard to, you know, we did this for a year and we were very aware that this was a one-year experiment. It's hard to figure out a way to do this sustainably for a lifetime, but plenty of people do it, and plenty of people here in Virginia. And when I was in Wisconsin recently, I met lots of people who did it there, so who do it there.
Thanks again for calling. Mike in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling. Mike, are you there? Oops. Mike, yep. Okay, go ahead.
Am I here?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Well, first, congratulations for having the gumption to do it.
Thank you.
And then, how did you do it mentally? In other words, what did you decide to do with your life? You just decided to put it on hold for a year and then go back to it? Or, you know, did you leave a backup for yourself?
Well,
last question, and I ask this because I'm entertaining the idea of doing something similar. What did you do as far as, medical emergencies, things of that nature? What was your plan there?
Yeah, those are good questions.
Yeah, you know, a lot of this, it's interesting. You applaud my gumption, and that was part of it. But I go back to this idea of naivete. I mean, we did this without thinking about a lot of things. We sort of dove into it, knowing that it would be exciting and challenging. We didn't have much of a plan for reentry, and that sort of was an issue later. But in terms of mentally, no, it was not that hard to leave behind, to put our lives on hold and to leave behind things like the media and to not make a phone call for a year. That was actually the easy part. I guess we were feeling so burned out on modern life that we decided, let's do this and kind of reap the rewards from it. So we had the luxury of doing that. We sold an apartment in New York, this fixer-upper apartment that we had bought in Brooklyn, and by selling that and also by reducing our expenses way down, we were able to live for a year without working and without, you know, thinking about income. And that was pretty magical. That's something we've never done before and probably will never do again. So all of that combined to make it a kind of a magical year. And then when it was time to come back, suddenly reality hit, and we realized we didn't really have a long-term plan, but we've cobbled together a very nice life afterwards.
One thing Mike mentioned too was what about health? And there was some concern, got to be some health concerns over the course of your year.
Right. We didn't think that much about things like accidents. We just hoped that we would get lucky. And that may have been foolish, but that's the way we handled it. We thought about things that we were familiar with, mostly illness involving our son. When we were in Brooklyn, he had constant earaches and croup and colds, and that was a result of being around a lot of kids. Our last few months in Brooklyn, he was in a daycare.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought, well, we could take antibiotics to anticipate some of these illnesses, but they didn't exist in 1900, so we decided not to do that. And we hoped that he wouldn't get sick as much, and sure enough, he didn't because he wasn't as exposed. The few times he did get ill, with colds and once with a fever, it was pretty frightening. We felt pretty helpless, but it gave us a sense of what it's like, or what it must have been like in 1900, not to be able to go onto Google and type in some symptoms and get an immediate response, or to be able to call the doctor and just say, "Hey, we're coming by because our son has a fever." I guess we knew that if something very serious happened, we could always step out of our 1900 lives, but we really didn't want to do that because we had given up so much to do this. We wanted it to be authentic.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike, for calling. Again, you can join us if you have a question for Logan Ward as we talk with him about his book, See You in 100 Years, as he discusses the struggles and rewards and turning back the clock. 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison, reach us at 263-1890. And you can also email us at talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Eugenia in Spring Green next. Eugenia, hello to you.
Hello. I am really curious to hear more about the house that Mr. Ward was living in. I'm from that part of the country, and where is this house, say, relative to Buffalo Gap?
About 4 miles away.
Which way?
To the south, southwest.
Out into the valley.
Yeah, we were in the valley, and it was a typical Virginia L. You see them all over the place, you know, sort of a vernacular Georgian, real simple, built. It was called Trimble's Mill. It's called Trimble's Mill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know where that is.
Okay.
How did you like the house? How did that weather, and how did that, where do you live now? How does it compare?
Well, I'll tell you, living in this house under the conditions of when it was built was really amazing, because I'm personally interested in architecture and design, and we were able to see how thoughtful the people were who built this house. They had been on the property, the Trimbles, since the 1730s.
Right.
They had lived in a log cabin, and this was the house that they built probably when they got a little more money. It was simple, but it was still nicer than the log cabin. And we could sense, because we were having to live without air conditioning and without heat and without fans, we could sense that they knew exactly where the sun rose and set. They knew exactly where the prevailing winds came from, and the house was positioned just so that it took advantage of the breezes and blocked the winter winds. It was really remarkable.
There are any number of us, I'm 66 years old, who have fled to the woods for one reason or another and have done or are continuing to do just that sort of thing. I really look forward to reading your book.
Oh. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eugenia. Thank you very much for calling. Someone else wondered, before we go back to the phone, someone else wondered if you'd had older children, would you have still done this and interrupt their lives for a year? And I assume the person was thinking about school and that sort of thing.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I think we would have, because we have a sense of, a greater sense of what's important. I don't think interrupting their school for a year would have been that big of a deal. I do know that it would be harder to get them to sign on. It was easier to take along a 2-year-old who really didn't know any better. But we would have to have their approval, and I'm sure that would be a hard thing to get, because kids these days grow up on technology.
Yep. What do? You know, no iPods, no TV. That would be a difficult thing for some children to go along with. Heather in Berkston, Minnesota. We'll turn to you now. Hi, Heather.
Hi there. I have to laugh. I'm in my 11th month of doing the same thing. I'm 57 years old, decided to sell my house in Duluth and move out to the country. I'm a city girl from Minneapolis, so I can kind of relate to going from New York and not knowing a lot of things, but you may have lived in smaller towns before. And just as you're on the radio right now, I'm just caulking around a door that has windows in it, and I'm using it for a window in the 3-car garage I'm converting into a cabin. But I'm on 20 acres. My question, I just admire you, and one of the things I have to comment on, your Heather and you doing this together, you must have torn your hair out, because all by myself, even my friends will show up and say, well, you can't do that, or how can you live like this? You don't even have running water. And I'm going, I'm fine. I'm doing just fine. But so it is hard when there's two people trying to decide what to do. It's a lot easier for me to do something just the way I think up to do it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what I want to know is about your water and plumbing. What did you do, or was there plumbing in the house? Did you have to collect water?
There was not plumbing in the house.
Well, there was, but you took it out.
That's right. We took it out, and then it was just a matter of, well, we pulled the electric well pump from the well, and we put in this hand pump that drew a third of a gallon of water from 80 feet below with every stroke, and it was a lot of effort to do that, but it sat up on a hill about 300 feet from the house, and I rigged up a system using rubber hoses and relying on gravity that would allow me to pump and fill up a barrel near the house, and we did that every day, and we would just take a galvanized bucket out there and carry it in for a wash water. We would carry it in and heat it on the stove for laundry water, and then we would keep a crock with a ladle for drinking water in the house.
And for bathing. I told everybody I'm a pioneer woman. You take a bowl of warm water and bar of soap and a washcloth, just like the cowboy movies.
That's right. We bought one of these giant, it must have been 150-gallon feed tanks. It was galvanized metal, oval, and that was our bathtub. But we never took a bath. We would take a splash bath. And I had done this when I taught school in Africa much earlier, when I was a recent college grad. And, you know, it's like you say, you take a bucket of water and a cup, and you pour it over your head, and then you soap up, and then you rinse, and it's not that big of a deal.
Thank you.
Right. So I think you've inspired me. I keep notes all the time, because I've had unbelievable things happen since I got here.
Well, Heather, I thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. But she's still using, you're still using a phone, Heather, so you're not back 100 years, but you're back a ways anyway. Logan Ward, our guest today, if you want to join in with your own question or comment as we talk about how he and his wife and young son lived, went back 100 years, kind of, in order to live. It's a, and it's an inspiring book, I can tell you that for sure. 1-800-642-1234, or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. You know, Heather mentioned, and this is something that comes up in your book, she's there by herself, so she gets to do, you know, she does what she wants and doesn't have to sort of argue with anybody or have long discussions about it. And you, your roles, you sort of picked up on different roles, and occasionally you'd have some conflict about that.
Right, and I thought when Heather was talking, I thought, you know, my relationship with my wife was is really one of the main themes of the book. It was one of the most important parts of this experiment. And we mentioned earlier how rocky it was at the beginning. I say that if I could have hitched that wagon up and driven it to a divorce lawyer, I'm not sure we would have finished out the year. But, and that was because, you know, not only were we working side by side for the first time in our lives and having to make decisions and work as a team, but we were also with each other, you know, 24/7. We never went more than 6 miles from this place, and we were also under this stress of having to make our garden grow and can for winter, and we didn't want to fail because it would have been disastrous to uproot our lives and then not succeed. So for a few months there during the hard work of the growing season, it was really touch and go. We were fighting a lot, not talking a lot, but ultimately we worked through that, and it was really one of the best things that we've ever experienced, because we had to confront these things, the things that we had sort of put on hold in New York. In New York, we always found a reason to avoid confrontation or to avoid addressing an issue, and that was going to undermine our marriage, but here we had to confront it. And once we start gaining more competency and more respect for one another for what they were doing, our relationship improved tremendously, and to this day, that's the lasting, you know, takeaway from the whole experience, this new relationship that we have.
Mike in Menominee Falls, it's your turn now. Hi, Mike. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to know how they dealt with their social life, such as their faith life with church or other kinds of things, were able to duplicate anything like that, which they would have done 100 years ago versus today?
Social life.
Yeah, great question. Well, we went from being fairly anonymous in New York, living this sort of anonymous life where, you know, we had friends and we had colleagues, but we didn't have a community. We went from that to moving into a place where we didn't know if we were going to be shunned by the locals, you know, who might think we're nuts for doing this. So we were prepared to live a year in isolation. It turns out Swope, and I don't know if this is true of other rural places, but Swope has the most amazing people, generous of spirit, interesting, curious, and really from day one, they approached us with welcoming arms. I mean, they thought what we were doing was quirky, but they understood it, and we quickly became friends with them. They would always show up. Different neighbors would show up bearing gifts like zucchini bread and vegetables from their garden. And they were just interested in what we were doing. They helped us a lot. So we ended up having a pretty terrific social life. We went to a few parties that were within walking distance. As far as spiritual life, in New York, we weren't going to church. We both grew up going to Protestant churches, and we had moved away from that. And we debated whether we would go to church. We decided not to, even though there was one within walking distance, just because that wasn't something that at the time we participated in. But we found if anything, with the out-of-town visitors and the local community, we were probably more social than we'd ever been in our lives.
Very interesting. Serena in Richland Center, hello to you. Hi, Serena.
Hi. I wanted to comment, you know, this really takes a lot of effort for a person to be able to think, okay, can I live back? Can I live without water? Can I live without all the luxuries? And when I was growing up, we had we moved to a farm that did not have any plumbing. It had electricity, and we had an outhouse. And so for 3.5 years of my life, that's how we lived. We had to go out, pump water, go out, use the outhouse, and finally my dad says, okay, this is enough, and we finally put in a septic system. So I understand how, you know, what it's like to live without the luxuries. And I always thought if I could go back and do it all over again, I would do it.
Well, we weren't the first people to get fed up with modern life. I mean, and it's just, it's a common idea that the people get frustrated with their workaday lives. They feel lack of control over their lives, you know, because they have to pay bills and the bills keep piling up. And, you know, this technology that's supposed to make our lives easier is actually having the opposite effect often. You know, I find that now that I'm back to the 21st century, I stay up late answering emails just to stay on top of it. Lots of people have this dream, and I've heard many stories. The other thing is, we came from people who lived this way. You know, our parents, to some degree, lived the subsistence farming life. Certainly my wife's parents, in the 30s in Alabama, they, during the Depression, they lived without electricity and without running water. They plowed their fields with mules. And here we were just a generation or two later with no idea of how they lived and feeling very disconnected from our own roots. So that was a big part of why we did this.
Yeah.
Well, you think about the Amish. How do they live? They live without the electricity, the indoor plumbing, and stuff like that.
Well, I've learned a little bit about the Amish, and I found that that they're not necessarily opposed to the technology. They're just opposed to the effect of the technology on the family. So, you know, they'll take a ride in a car, but they won't own a car because it brings in all these issues of, you know, separating the family, but also covetousness among neighbors. And they'll talk on the telephone, but they won't have a telephone for the same reason. So I think we experienced life without a lot of these distractions and saw what it did in a positive way to our family. So I certainly respect the choice of the Amish.
Mm. Thanks very much, Serena, for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Logan Ward, our guest today, he is the author of See You in 100 Years, Four Seasons in Forgotten America. See You in 100 Years, I should say, Four Seasons in Forgotten America. It's published by Ben Bella Books. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking with Logan Ward today about his book, See You in 100 Years. Fascinating story. He's a fascinating guy. Jim Packard joined me. He's an interesting guy, isn't he, Jim?
He certainly is, and he's got a great story to tell. I mean, just imagine you get rid of everything, really, that's made since 1900, and you go off and you go to spend a year, and that is a long time. Lots of things can happen along the way, and they do, and he writes beautifully about it, the struggles and the challenges and the eventual resolve that comes about. It's a great story, and both you and I highly recommend it. I mean, we
it's
sometimes
book.
Recommend books, and you know, well, maybe it's a good one, maybe it's not, but this one, there's no hesitation about it at all. Right from the start, it's a great read. And we'd like you to get your copy of this book. First of all, let's start off with the member benefit card. It's available for $10 a month, and that would be a pledge of $120 at 800-383-9777. 72 or at WPR.org. And if you'll kick in an extra $250 a month, we'll send along a hardcover copy of this book, See You in 100 Years by Logan Ward. And you'll find out about the learning curve that they faced and overcame in this year in the country.
And we have a goal of $7,000 for this hour that we would like to raise by 12 today, by noon today. And when we reach that goal of $7,000, we'll be receiving an additional $1,500 in the form of a challenge grant. And that's a lot of money. And if we don't, frankly, if we don't make the $7,000, we don't receive the $1,500. So it's an extra, it's quite a bit of extra money to go along. And so your contribution is really helping us to also to gain that extra $1,500 from some really nice people wish to remain anonymous, but said, look, we'll put $1,500 up if you if you can raise $7,000. So that's just exactly what we're trying to do today with your help. And we've had some great calls. Listen all the time. Becky in Evansville says, this book is something I need to read. See you in 100 years. I've been planning to call public radio for a long time, and this book made me do it. What a great. I hope the book and I hope the conversation today with Logan Ward makes you want to pick up the phone. And when you do, pick up the phone and call 1-800-383-9772. Or maybe you go online. So now Logan couldn't have gone online, or he couldn't have phoned us, as a matter of fact, when he at the time of writing his book. You can go online to WPR.org, make your contribution as well there. Travis in Wausau has been listening for years, decided it was finally time to pledge. And that's great. And as a matter of fact, eight of our first 10 contributors today here on this program are new contributors and have not contributed before.
An excellent showing, and we'd be happy to take your first call, your first pledge. If you've never pledged before and been a long-time listener, now is the time to go ahead and make your call at 800-383-9772, or you can go online, of course, at WPR.org. Whatever amount is comfortable for you is the amount that we would like you to pledge. And if you're comfortable at $10 a month, $120, then we'd send that member benefit card to you, which this year, this fall, includes bed and breakfast in 44 locations of Wisconsin, Illinois, and Minnesota. I was just looking in the T's and the S's, and so you've got the Thorpe House Inn and Cottages at Fish Creek. You've got the Victorian Mansion in Galena. The Washington House in Cedarburg, we're in Lake Geneva, Richmond, Illinois, Cannon Falls, Minnesota. So this is a variety of bed and breakfast, and you get two nights for the price of one. Two nights for the price of one with your member benefit card.
At $120.
At $120. And
why not add some money?
If you kick in $250 a month, why, we'll be glad to send along a copy of Logan's book, See You in 100 Years. It's just a great, great story, and I do understand that the movie rights have been sold for this, and so who's going to play Logan Ward?
Logan, who do you want to play yourself?
Oh, that's a good question. I hadn't really thought much about that, but Brad Pitt would be fine.
Brad Pitt would be fine. Yeah, you know Brad Pitt? Well, you look a little bit like Brad Pitt, I guess. Let me see here that picture. Well, let's see. I don't know, Jim. Should it be Brad Pitt or somebody else?
I think we'll think about...
Jim Packard might be able to do it.
Well, he's a pretty busy guy, and he's not on the A-list. We want somebody who can really turn him up and turn the turnstiles here.
Well, I tell you what, how about Martinez White? So he's pointing to me. I want to do it. I want to do it. Well, we'll see, Martinez. Martinez is answering some phones for us now. Well, how about $100 a month to Wisconsin Public Radio? That would really help us out. We've got a goal of $7,000. We're at about $5,000 to go yet, so... about 9 minutes to go here before noon. We can make it with your help. You, with a $100 contribution, then you're a 9XM member for sure, because that's $1,200. You get the special newsletter, you the special leadership gift. You get it helps secure Wisconsin Public Radio's future, and that's kind of the important part about that. Some of us here on staff are members of the 9XM Leadership Circle. I'm one of them, and I'm really happy to be a member of that. But maybe that's out of your range right now. If it's not, I hope you'll go ahead. I think actually $50 bucks a month would probably put you into the 9XM Leadership Circle, as a matter of fact. But maybe your contribution is $120 and we'll send you the member benefit card. Or maybe it's $150, add $30, and we'll send you a copy of Logan's book, See You in 100 Years, or maybe it's something less than that as well. Whatever amount feels comfortable for you is what we want you to contribute at 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Kathy in Pell Lake loves the Ideas Network. She has it on all the time. Jill in Middleton loves all the hosts on Wisconsin Public Radio. Oh, but she says, I continue to be her favorite.
Ooh,
I like that. Thank you. Thank you very much, Jill. We do cover, she mentions the variety of topics that we cover, and we certainly try to cover a wide variety of topics between 11 and 12:30. We love having authors on, people like Logan Ward, but we'll also talk about environmental things. We'll talk about gardening. We talk about your health. We'll talk about fixing what ails you with aches and pains and so forth. We talk about how to get your house fixed up, a lot of advice programs, and a lot of programs aimed at the environment and the outdoors and the garden. So those kinds of topics, I think, appeal to a broad range of people. They appeal to you, or you probably wouldn't be listening. So help us out now with a contribution, 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org. We've got about $4,000 to go to reach our goal, $4,400 or so to go to reach our goal. You can help us make that goal. And then we add another $1,500 to the pot with that challenge grant.
Just imagine how Logan Ward could have used Wisconsin Public Radio in 1900, although we didn't come along until 1917. But look what he could have gotten, the gardening advice, farming advice. We did our farming series this last year with the Wisconsin Academy of Sciences, Arts, and Letters. So there would have been so much advice and so many facts and things to share with Logan that we could have made life a little easier for him in his struggle. But he had to do it without radio and without television and without the electric pump and all of the difficulties that came about. And he had to confront the Percheron, excuse me, that it's a great story, and we'd love you to have this story. And you can get your copy right now, pledging at 800-383-9772 or going online at WPR.org.
And Jerome and Racine called in with a contribution. He contributes because Wisconsin Public Radio supports free thought and an alternative view to corporate news reporting. Thank you for that comment, Jerome. And Gail and Sturtevant, I think, listens every day. Oh, this is interesting. I'm a first-time member, and I'm going to submit a matching pledge to my employer, to Abbott Laboratories. The information in your show comes in very handy when I have discussions in my MBA program at Lake Forest Graduate School of Management. Many of my teachers listen as well. Thanks so much for interesting programs. It's a good point to remember that there are many companies out there who will provide matching grants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important to us because it adds to our financial profile here. And I tell you what, we're moving along, but we've got a ways to go yet. We've got 5 minutes or so to raise another $4,000, and we do that with your help. Maybe a $1,000 contribution would really help us out, but I'll tell you what, we can do it $120 or $150 at a time with just 20 calls. You can be one of those 25 or so people to call in with a $150 contribution and put us over the top. And it's a really important goal for us to meet to reach that $7,000 goal. It's important to you as well because it helps us provide the kinds of programming that you've come to enjoy here at Wisconsin Public Radio. When you contribute, you're helping us reach that goal. You're also putting a vote in for programs like the program we're doing today with Logan Ward, and he's going to be able to talk with us some more. I want to ask him some more about that draft horse, Bell, but you have some questions I know as well, and you'll be able to ask those questions of him too. And that's what's kind of good about Wisconsin Public Radio. Gives you a chance to go right to the source, go right to the experts, go right to the authors and ask the questions that have come into your mind. Maybe challenge them sometimes. 1-800-383-9772, the number to call, 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org. Really want to make this goal. You can help us make it.
And if you're already at the computer, why, you can go ahead and make your pledge there. You can print your receipt. You can leave comments. It helps count towards the goal that we have to raise $7,000 in this hour and receive an extra $1,500 from the challenge grant. But it starts with your phone call, and so this is the time you have to decide, how much is my pledge going to be? If it's for $100, we'll send along the Wisconsin Public Radio 32-ounce water bottle. If it's $120, we'll be certainly happy to send along your Wisconsin Public Radio member benefit card. And if it's for $150, an extra $250 a month there, then we'll send Logan Ward's book along to you as well. It's a book that I know that Larry and I both enthusiastically endorse and find that it's impossible to put down once you start.
Yeah, I spent out a long – once I sat down to read that book, I didn't put it down, frankly. I read it right straight through because I was so entranced by the book. He's a great writer. And he's got a story that I think is really interesting. It's a story about community, too, you know. It's a story about the community of people. He had his own little community, his family community, he and his wife and his son. But then there was the larger community in the neighborhood that really helped him out. Wisconsin Public Radio has a community of listeners, too, and you're part of that community, and we want you to become a financial part of that community as well. Here we are with a couple of minutes to go. If we can raise another $3,000, we'll be another $2,500. We'll be at that goal. We've got about a minute and a half to do it, and you can help us out. Now is the time. If you've been thinking about it, now is really the time, because we're close enough. We can make the goal of $7,000 and gain that additional $1,500 when you call in with your contribution. The number to call is 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org. We're going to go away for a look at the news. We've still got a minute to go, though, but when we come back, we'll be talking with Logan Ward, and you'll be able to ask him your questions. Call in 1-800-383-9772. Go online to WPR.org. Happy to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, visiting now with Logan Ward of Staunton, Virginia, veteran freelance writer whose work has appeared in the New York Times, National Geographic Adventure, among others, and is the author of See You in 100 Years, Four Seasons in Forgotten America. It's published by Ben Bella Books. Really happy to have him along, and certainly if you want to join in with a question or comment, you're most welcome at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And I'll tell you what, Lois in Eau Claire has been waiting a while, so let's go to Lois. Hi, thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I didn't catch the first part of the program, so maybe Logan has answered this question. But I live in a 100-year-old house on the outskirts of Eau Claire, and there was a area dug out on the side of a small hill that had some rocks around it. I couldn't figure out what it was. A neighbor told me it was used as a fruit cellar, and I was wondering where Logan and his wife kept their food, their produce. That wasn't canned.
Yeah, that's a good question. Logan?
Well, it does sound like a root cellar. Root cellars came in all varieties. We had one under the house that was not perfectly insulated. It had a few windows, but it stayed cool enough so that we would carry our milk down there every morning, and we would keep our jars of preserved food down there. We had a potato bin once we harvested our potatoes. But, you know, during the course of researching this project, we learned that people did all kinds of things. They would dig holes in their backyards and line them with pine straw and bury their cabbages and then put another layer of pine straw on top and cover it with dirt and then come back in the winter and dig them up sort of one by one. So it could be that you were looking at a very rudimentary root cellar.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. How was it in terms of your canning and so forth? That was a lot of work to do that with using 1900 technology.
Oh, it was extraordinary. I mean, once we got through the drought that summer, and that's a whole different story, and once it was clear that our garden would produce, we harvested, we picked and cleaned and shucked and shelled, and then in August, you know, the hottest month, we had to can for hours every day on the wood stove. So we had to gear up every day. I was splitting more wood than ever for the canning. I was pumping more water for the canning. And we worked in our own little sort of factory assembly line for about 4 weeks straight in the hottest part of the year, canning. Ultimately, we canned more than 350 quarts of food for the winter.
And, you know, you had company, too. And, I that's part of the story that we haven't talked much about. But some of the relatives came to visit and some of the friends came to visit. Describe what that was like.
Well, of course, people were curious and people wanted to see us. I mean, we moved away from New York and told people we weren't going to be able to email them, phone them, or see them for a year. So they would show up on our doorstep. And we were lucky if we got a letter warning us in advance. But our families came, of course. They wanted to see us and their grandson. But when they would come, you know, they were we didn't ask them to abide by our rules, but they were respectful of our rules, so they would leave their cell phones behind, and they would use the outhouse, and they would eat the food that we prepared, and they would help us when they could. We had a family from Brooklyn come for a week, and right in the middle of harvest season, and they were terrific. They got their kids out in the garden and worked like, you know, sharecroppers to help us picking beans and canning. So it was pretty wonderful to see them come and participate. And for them, they could come for a weekend and then go home and take a hot shower.
Lynette and Madison, your turn. Hi, Lynette.
Hello. I was wondering how, Logan, how your relationship with your wife has changed since this experiment that you two have gone through, and then where you're living now.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, it has changed for the better. I mean, this was the turning point for our relationship. I'm not sure if we could have gone on the way we were headed. Maybe we would have confronted our situation otherwise, but this forced it. And so not only were we forced to confront things and work side by side, but we gained this new respect for one another. You know, I saw how hard she worked and how willing she was to do this. She saw the same thing from me. So today, we have lots of challenges in our life. We have another child. So our children now are 8 and 4. And as anyone knows, I mean, there are lots of hardships you go through. And we feel like we can talk about things. We feel like we're just on firmer footing. And as for where we are now, we're about 12 miles from Trimble's Mill. We reached the hard conclusion about 3 years ago that we had to sell the farm. And this was a couple of years after our 1900 experience. We came back, we renovated the farmhouse, we tried to create a new life, you know, a sort of long-term life there. But it was really difficult. For one, we found ourselves back, you know, with stacks of bills, and I was working full-time again as a freelancer, but full-time. We started getting involved in community life in town. Our son started going to school, and our children have extracurricular activities. So for a lot of reasons, we sold the farm and moved into this town of Stanton. And we stay in touch with the people we met, and we found this new community, and we're very happy here. It's a great town that we feel a part of. So,
good to hear.
And only 12 miles or so from where you were living.
That's right. And in a lot of ways, it took us back to where we probably needed to be anyway. We grew up in small towns. And we went from one extreme in New York City to this other extreme, rural 1900, and our pendulum has sort of settled back where it probably should be anyway, where we're familiar.
Thanks, Lynette.
Thank you.
Larry and Stevens Point, it's your turn. Hi, Larry.
Okay, well, we live in a 100-year-old house, burn wood, and do a lot of canning. I've got a curious question. On your canning, did you use antique jars, which are currently antique and sell at a premium, or did you use modern day canning jars and lids?
That was a question we had. We used modern day canning jars and lids. For one, we were really nervous about getting botulism.
Yeah.
And we just couldn't figure out how to do it using the antique materials, but we also realized that even though the technology's changed somewhat, it's not that different. It's still glass. Sure, the lids have a different sealing mechanism. But the idea of using zinc caps and rubber fittings gaskets, we just couldn't figure out how to do that.
Yeah. Thanks, Larry. Ken in Fox Lake, your turn. Hi, Ken.
Hello. I give your guest a lot of credit for doing that for a year, but I'd just like to ask, now that you've got thousands of Amish people that live in Wisconsin, and they're probably living, you know, 100 to 200 years ago. Also, I'm kind of wondering if you used an automobile as such, and you know, Amish community still drives around with horse and buggy. So,
we did comment a bit on that, but Logan, comment.
Well, we did not use a car. In 1900, there were 8,000 cars registered in this country, and people like us would not have had one of them. And sure, there are plenty of people who live similar ways today, and I admire them tremendously. And there are other people who are living not necessarily with 1900 technology, but they're living closer to the land, and I admire them. They're far more accomplished than we were. We we saw this as a year of discovery, you know, a completely different way of life that we hoped would help us appreciate technology and sort of pick and choose, you know, what things enhance our lives. And so that was the nature of what we did.
Thanks, Ken. And Tom in Verona, your turn. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, I'm going to relate a couple of stories from the Upper Michigan. My wife's great-grandfather built a cabin right over at Springfield Creek, and he'd lower his things down into the creek and it's in a waterproof sack and keep it cool that way. And I was up there talking to some people, and they said, oh, there's a hermit that lives out in the woods, and he's buried some refrigerators, and he lives offline. So he buried these refrigerators, and he said, keep this food just perfect for the summer. And the refrigerators, and my wife and I would primitive camp for maybe up to a month at a time. I think the biggest problem we had was just getting water. Most everything else we could take care of.
Yeah, and water was a big part of your life, Logan.
It was, and, you know, I think people ask me what we missed the most, and it was not the telephone, certainly wasn't the television, it wasn't even the refrigerator, or the car. I missed the kitchen sink.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just the fact that you could turn the tap on it and have water running in, it was the drain. We never thought about what it would be like to have to haul all of our water back out and dump it over the fence, you know, or during the drought, dump it on the
garden.
So there was a lot of work involved in that.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you very much for calling. And I have to say, Logan, Jim Campbell's a friend, and I'm really glad that he's recommended this book, because it is a wonderful, wonderful book. Jim Packard, another Jim Packard joining us for a few minutes. Jim, we came just a little short of reaching our goal that first hour.
We were close to the $7,000 goal, but we can make it up in a way. We won't recover the challenge grant, but we can make it up in a way in the total goal of $12,000 for the program itself, for the full 90 minutes today. And so we would very much like to have your pledge included at 800-383-9772 or at WPR.org. You simply decide the amount that you wish to pledge. The average pledge has been going over $100 for the last few drives. And if you pledge at the $100 level, we'd be happy to send along the brand new Wisconsin Public Radio insignia mug, the beverage mug made of the hardest plastic possible. And that's available for a pledge of $100. For $120, we've got the member benefit card, which is much more than a premium and a thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It's an experience that you will share all year long from your Wisconsin Public Radio membership. And if you threw in an extra $250 a month, we'd be happy to send along Logan's book, which is, of course, See You in 100 Years, Four Seasons in Forgotten America. I wish he could have chosen Wisconsin to do his subsistence farming. But I do understand in the wintertime it might have been very, very, very difficult to get through there. In Virginia, at least, why the temperature is a little more moderate and mm-hmm. they can handle that thing. But it faced so many obstacles along the way and so many challenges, both in their personal life and in life in general, in making sure that they had enough food. Sure, they could quit at some point. And then I always thought, what would be the option? What's the alternative? You're going to go and what? Go to the county and say, I've failed miserably in this experiment. So the story is true. It rings true. He's a beautiful writer, and it's going to make a great movie when it comes out. Logan, are you working the screenplay or somebody else doing that?
Well, you know, that's a recent happening, and it's actually still in negotiation. So,
Jim was jumping the gun here on that.
Well, let's hope that it works out. But okay. Someone is very interested, and we're talking to them, and I think it would be exciting, and we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it sounds, it would make a great movie. I think it would make a great movie. And I hope it becomes a movie. But I tell you what, I would just as soon have that book, and I want to read that book. I'll read that book again. It's one of those books that you can read more than once and really enjoy it. And you can join in with our group. There've been quite a few people. We have a $5,000 goal for this half hour, and we've already raised $1,500.
So we're well on our way to achieving that $5,000.
Yeah, so we have the $3,500 to go. To reach our goal for the half hour. You can do this. Try it out. Try it out for try us out for a year. That's a way to think about it. Try us out for a year here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Contribute for a year. See how it makes you feel. It always makes me feel good to contribute. How about you? When you contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio, you're going to feel great knowing that you're helping this particular program. Like Fred Milwaukee said, it makes a very positive impact on how he interprets things. He wants to be a part of public radio. Mary Sue and Matt in West Bend don't know what they do without Wisconsin Public Radio. Certainly wouldn't want to have to do without Wisconsin Public Radio. Cindy in La Crosse says, I never know which program to pledge to.
Cindy, yes, we do. We
but
do.
But Cindy knew. She called in. She called in at 11:41 and made her contribution to this particular program. Well, maybe next time she'll contribute to somebody else. But I tell you what, with a contribution now, you're going to be helping us reach our goal. You're going to be helping provide the kinds of programs like we have here with Logan Ward that you have come to count on from 11 to 12:30. 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, we're here with a whole variety of programs, be it authors, be it information on gardens, information on the out-of-doors, information on how to fix your house, a lot of advice type of programs that we offer, along with the authors that we have, people like Logan Ward. When you call in with that $120 contribution, we'll give you the member benefit card. Add $30, and we'll give you the send you a copy of Logan's book in hardcover. And by the way, you'll receive that by the holiday season, too. So if you want to read it and pass it on to somebody else, that would be just fine, too. 1-800, whatever you do, call in now at 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Or again, go online to WPR.org. WPR.org. Make your contribution online. It's quick. It's safe online. We're not going to sell your name to anybody else. You're a part of our family, and we're not going to do that. Call in now or go online.
Your individual pledge is Wisconsin Public Radio's most important source of funding. It comes from you, about 31%. So we rely on your contributions, and we ask you to pledge to help us pay for the bills over the next year. A pledge is a financial contribution. You choose the amount. You choose how to pay. And Wisconsin Public Radio will thank you because it is so important both to us and to you in terms of programming. If you can pledge at $120 and pick up the member benefit card, you will receive year-long benefits in the way of two nights for one at selected bed and breakfasts in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Minnesota, two-for-one dining at over 200 restaurant locations in that area, and some reduced prices on shopping benefits online, as well as discounts at symphonies and other attractions like that. So it definitely is a card that you can recoup your investment by using it once or twice at 800-383-9772 or at WPR.org.
And then adding the book, by the way, for another $30, you can add the book, and you're really going to enjoy this book. I can tell you that right now. Jim and I give it our five-star ratings. Both of us independently of one another came in and said, "Whoa, that is a great book." And I tell you what, it is a wonderful book, and it's kind of, I think, indicative of the kinds of programs. I mentioned to Logan that Logan and Jim Campbell happen to be good friends, and we had Jim Campbell on the program in the last few days talking about his new book. It was fun to talk with a Wisconsin guy about the 32nd Division. It was a lot of fun to learn about the war in New Guinea during World War II, the battles there that went on. Logan Ward had, and his wife, Heather, had a battle on their hands for an entire year. Different kind of battle there, but a battle that hinged on them making the right choices, making the right gardening choices, making the right harvest choices, making the right canning choices. You can make a great choice now when you call in with a contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio, because what you're choosing to do is you're choosing to become a financial contributor to a community that you've become accustomed to and that you enjoy. We appreciate, we work hard to come up with great programs for you. We appreciate all of the input that we get from you. And now we'd like some financial input from you as well at 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. We've got about $3,000 to go, Jim, to reach that $5,000 goal.
Electronic funds transfer is an option that you can use. You authorize a set amount for us to withdraw monthly from your bank account, and that's how your pledge is done. You can use credit cards to make your pledge, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover cards, all in use. You can write a check. You can pay in $1 bills if you like. Do whatever you feel that is comfortable for you. But by all means, help us out to meet that goal. We need another $3,000 by 12:30 in order to meet it. And we can do that when you pledge online at WPR.org or at 800-383-9772.
It comes down to a pretty simple concept. You listen and enjoy the program. We rely on listeners to support this service. About 30% of our operating budget comes to us from you and people just like you who listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. I think a lot of people contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio because they want to make a difference. A lot of people who listen to Wisconsin Public Radio are the same people who get involved in activities to improve communities where they live. They give to Wisconsin Public Radio because that's one of the activities for improving the community in which you live. Your new membership, it pays for the programs you listen to. It also creates the opportunity for someone else in your neighborhood to discover Wisconsin Public Radio as well. A new membership goes a long way for helping us do that. About $450 is the price for 1 hour of our toll-free phone lines during the day. And if you had a $500 contribution, well, I'll tell you what, then you'd be paying for the phones for an hour to help those who maybe couldn't afford those that particular cost. So whatever you think is you feel comfortable with contributing, I hope you'll call in with a contribution now at 1-800-383-9772. Go online to WPR.org otherwise and make your contribution there. It's quick. It's easy with some friendly people back there to in our Pledge Central area to help you get this done with. And we've got a couple, 2.5 minutes to go and about $3,000 to go, Jim.
So let's catch your call in right now and get counted in this appeal before 12:30 to help us make our goal. If you think that Wisconsin Public Radio is a great source of information, then help us pay for the bills to support it. It involves the electricity, involves keeping the transmitters going, and you're helping to pay for the programming that goes on there. And we do that with your call at 800-383-9772 or at WPR.org. If you can pledge at $150, $12.50 a month, why, then we'll be glad to send along a copy of See You in 100 Years by Logan Ward. The member benefit card will come and use that once or twice through the year, and you've got the amount of your pledge covered. But right now, let's hear from you at 800-383-9772. It's never been more important.
Never has been more important. And we'll be having to go away here in less than a minute, but there's still a couple of minutes for you to go ahead and contribute whatever amount you feel comfortable with. Certainly, I'd love to get this book in the hands of a lot of people, See You in 100 Years by Logan Ward. And it's an easy way for you to get that in your hands with a contribution of $150. And then you're helping us reach our goal. Let me give the number again. It's 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Go online otherwise to WPR.org. That's WPR.org. A big thanks to Logan Ward for being with us today. He was a good guy, and I really enjoyed talking with him. I hope you enjoyed listening to him. Thanks for everybody who's contributed, and if you haven't contributed yet, call in right now with that contribution. 1-800-383-9772.